All right. Late in the day, how is everybody? All excited? Good. Been a minute. Early starters? Everyone do the 7 a.m. start? Of course you did. Right. So, my name's Daniel Apps. Just to clear the air, Apps was my given name. No, I'm not a developer. I wish I had the foresight to get apps.com. Probably a rich man today. I've been working with infrastructure for probably on 20 years now. I work at a company called Vigilant IT, based out of Sydney. And today we're going to talk about Azure Pack towards Azure Stack. I'm very passionate about Azure Pack and System Center and Windows Server that feeds into it and the other bits and pieces which we'll get into today. We've got a clicker malfunction, so I'm mouse clicking here. And the mouse is not working either. So, something to talk about. Firstly, why Azure Pack today? Why you should look at it, why you should think about it as a part of your strategy. We're going to do a bit of a tussle between Azure Pack and Azure Stack, do a bit of comparison, sort of get some grounding, hopefully clarify some of the myths out there. And we're going to look into the Azure Pack architecture and some of the components and bits and pieces that feed that engine. We're going to try and do some demos because Azure Pack sort of encompasses a lot of things. Wasn't sure what to demo today, so really we're just going to look at some of the platform extensibility, but it's very light demos anyway. And then we're going to bust some myths. Oh, I've got a new gadget. All right. And all right, it works. Awesome, good man. So, why Azure Pack today? Can I get a show of hands? Who here has infrastructure, primarily virtualized? Okay, good. So we're all in the right room. VMware. Who's running VMware? Oh, that hurts. Right. That's all right. I love you still. And about how about Hyper-V? All right, there's my kin. Beautiful. All right. We've got a private drink session afterwards. Let me come talk to me about it. What about private cloud? So Azure and that other legacy public cloud that we won't mention, who has workloads or would like to extend their workloads into that now today? Probably a good show of hands. There's probably a lot of that stuff in the this week, so it's pretty exciting. Azure Pack, not only does it leverage all Hyper-V 2016 features, we can extend and I'll show some of the other features, but it's a tailored solution to meet your needs now. Azure Pack, we can wrap, we can twist, we can tort it, we can make it work around your environment, no matter what it looks like. No deployment restrictions. I'm going to come back to that point, and it'll become clear later why I'm saying that. Azure Pack deployed in one day. Just on that, if you're interested in having a look at it, getting it up and running, seeing how it works and fits together, there's actually some of the labs up there. I don't know, I actually sat down and did one of the labs myself. I don't know why I did that. I just was all excited and did that. Common myths, things I hear today. Pack and stack myths is what I call them. So some things around Azure Stack. So we hear Azure Stack is version 2 of Azure Pack. Azure Stack, 2016 version. Azure Stack on my existing hardware. From the other perspective, let's have a look at Azure Pack. Pack is only for 2012 R2. Being deprecated, 2016 is the future, obviously Azure Stack, that kind of story. Azure Pack's just for deploying VMs. Some things I've heard about, it's like the new version of App Controller, or it's the web console of VMM, things like that. And the one that, again, really hurts, Azure Pack is dead. People heard this, believe this, think this? No? Anyone? The last one? I need some tissues up here. This is actually getting emotional. So Azure Pack gets a life. So in January, Microsoft announced extended life to 2027. 10 years Azure Pack's got its life for. So it's not going away anytime soon. Full support for Server 2016. Okay, so if you go with a new bleeding edge, 2016 everything, System Center 2016, we can run Azure Pack on that. We do that today in our environment. What does Microsoft say? I will argue with you, sir. Azure Pack is not dead, and it's far from being dead. I love that. I stick to that. I read that every night. But what's important is the WAP controller. Okay, it's to be announced, but Microsoft have alluded to and talked about a WAP controller or a connector. They haven't really clarified the name here. We're going to be able to manage our Azure Pack environments from Azure Stack. I'll show you why that's important. So let's get into a bit of a tussle, Azure Stack, Azure Pack. So we've probably all been to Azure Stack sessions, seen the architecture, understand how it all fits together. We've seen this familiar diagram for most people. So just to run through quickly, we've got the cloud infrastructure, your compute, your storage, your network, your foundations. Then we have our extensible service framework. So we've got our foundation services, which leverage all of that existing cloud infrastructure. And we've got our core services, so our role-based access, our billing, our usage, all that kind of stuff. And we've got additional services, which are provided from Microsoft Azure. So they're all the additional resource providers that can come in and actually do stuff on the stack. And we have ISV provided, or third party, again, coming through the current branch that is provided from Microsoft. Unified app model, we've probably all heard about Azure Resource Manager, ARM being the engine, the powerful, the lovely stuff. And we've got the end user experience. We've got Azure Portal, and we've got the DevOps tools, so PowerShell. Run our workloads. This is all familiar. Is this a familiar diagram for most people? It's going to make sense. We've probably seen this a few times since Ignite in the US. That's Azure Stack, the all-encompassing, from top to bottom, Azure Stack. So now we come to my beloved. We've got Azure Pack. We've got our cloud infrastructure, we've got our compute storage network. Doesn't look too dissimilar. But the difference is we're running it on Windows Server 2016 or 2012 R2. So we're leveraging Hyper-V. We're actually controlling that. We're getting access to that hypervisor. We can extend to other visors. Again, those legacy visors that I saw a lot of hands go up for before. We have an extensible service fabric. So System Center 2016. Okay, not just Virtual Machine Manager. A lot of people think or believe that Azure Pack is just an extension of Virtual Machine Manager. It extends and uses a lot of the other components of the System Center suite. So it taps into Operations Manager, another beloved of mine, and Orchestrator and SMA. We have a service provider foundation that allows the System Center suite to become multi-tenant. So that's what makes that multi-tenancy. And we have our resource providers, third-party and custom. So we have resource providers provided by third-party companies, which you can download, configure. We can buy licenses for and use their tools and extend, but we can also write our custom-owned resource providers. That's something we can't do with Azure Stack today. Service management model. So we have the service management API. And we have the end-user experience. So we have our tenant portal, our dev tools, but we also have our ISV control panels. We also have our custom control panels. So if you've got an existing control panel in your environment today that is managing your resources, whether that be virtual machines or a lot of the other things that we can actually see that Windows Azure Pack can do, we can actually extend that to be the interface to drive Azure Pack and use Azure Pack as kind of like an enabler to my environment. And then we've got our workloads on top of that. Azure Pack is just the top. So when we talk about Windows Azure Pack, we're just talking about the service management API, so the service management fabric, and we're talking about the portals, the access portals, and that, whether they be the web GUI or through APIs or PowerShell. So the key thing that's flashing in front of your screen, I should have made that spark up, is can we do that again? No. Azure Resource Manager, ARM. That is the magic. That is the thing that you will become familiar with or become to love for Azure Stack. Reason being, well, not the only reason, but one of the reasons, is everything under there is Microsoft managed. You cannot modify, touch, configure, do anything under that. That everything below ARM, that's an abstraction layer. That is Microsoft managed. That is Microsoft know-how. That is Azure. That is awesome, but we need to be mindful of that. So let's just focus in on Azure Stack a moment. I don't want to give it too much of a beat up. I'm actually a big fan of Azure Stack, but I'll just clarify some things. So what do we know today? We've got four OEM vendors. We've got Cisco, was announced on Friday. We've got HP, Dell, Lenovo, in no specific order there. They're the hardware vendors. They're the badge on the side of the box. But in the grand scheme of things, they're actually quite insignificant because what Azure Stack is Microsoft. It is Microsoft software. It is a Microsoft Azure platform from top to bottom. The PCB might come out of HP or Dell or Lenovo or Cisco, can't discriminate. But we're really buying Microsoft software here. And again, that's great because it's one vendor top to bottom. All right, less confusion. So we've got our Azure stack here. I've got my own network cards in my environment, my own devices, my own hardware. I want to plug that in. I want to start adding my own visors. I've got Azure stack. I'm down here. I'm down the road. I've got all my existing kit. I want to start putting new kit into here. Can't do that. We can't add storage. We can't add disks. We can't add network cards. Can't add anything into it. It's a closed box. So as an infrastructure person, first thing I start thinking about is backup. So today I've got DPM, probably would have guessed that, but I'm sure a lot of you have got Veeam in the room. And we load our agents onto the visor, or we tap into the visor to actually start doing our snapshots and backup our virtual machines. Not going to be able to do that. Monitoring. Again, I alluded to SCOM. I love SCOM. Love my SCOM agents on everything. We're not going to be able to do that. If you want to do any maintenance, get in under the hood and do anything, you're not going to be able to do that. Warranty void if seal broken. Again, this is not a bad thing. This is great. If your environment is ready for that and your technology and your business process is ready for this, that is a great solution. That is great. That's one throat to choke, one piece of kit that goes in your environment and is managed by one vendor. That is absolutely brilliant. But you need to be aware of the caveats around that. So what about if we talk about the servicing model, how does it look from a subscription and offers model? Well, with Azure Stack, we do subscriptions. With subscriptions, we attach an offer. With those offers, we add our plans. Now, each plan can have multiple services. So we've got a one-to-many relationship there. We have multiple tenants going onto those different subscriptions. So it's like a many-to-many. And then we can add more subscriptions to that tenant. So that's how we provide the services up to our tenants. That's what they get, how they get their SQL as a service, their IaaS, their web apps, all their bits and pieces, their goodness that you're providing. Let's have a look at how Azure Pack does that today. We have our tenant, we have our subscription, then we have our plans, whether it be virtual machines, SQL, IaaS, websites, same sort of things, and we attach our services. Again, not too dissimilar, and we can have multiple subscriptions. So the methodology, the way that we provide our infrastructure, where we provide our services to our tenants, to our users, whether that be your admins, your developers, or your end-use compute, the delivery model is essentially the same. So you're aware of all that. It's all great, great, awesome. We've now put Azure Stack in our environment. We've got our box, unwrapped it, a big price tag, plugged in our network cable. That's it. We've got an express route as well, right? So we've put Azure Stack in our environment. It's in there, it's great, it's new shiny, it's great, I want to start playing with this thing, and I've got my existing infrastructure over here, I've got my storage, my network compute, right? All of my data center, all my racks, all my kit. I want to start leveraging all this kind of stuff. I'll start plugging that in. So let's plug in my network, my storage, my compute. As we've already probably alluded to, we're not going to be able to do that. Now, there is potentially a way to have a VM workload on Azure Stack and maybe do a nice SCSI mounted volume somewhere on your SAN, if you want to get tricky. But we need to be mindful of that. Okay, so what if we've got VMM in our environment? We've got System Center on top of it. We've got that centralized management portal, the PowerShell. We're not going to be able to do that either. And for many of you in the room, what about our VMware environments? You can forget that. It's not bad news. It's news. I do VMware to Hyper-V conversions. It's great news. So Azure Stack. We've got its own storage, network compute. It's all in its own box. Okay. So we just need to be mindful of that. We need to be clear about what the solution is when we're making decisions that affect our future as infrastructure people. So let's have a quick look. It's TP2 out of the box. TP3 is either released or not far away. I'm not sure if I've just broken here. But storage, network, compute, and Key Vault. And we've got our resource provider. We've got SQL databases, our app services, and MySQL. Today, that's what's coming. As far as RTM, that's what we know. Unless something changes in a session this week that I've not yet seen or will see, that's what we know. For people who want to find out more about Azure Stack, these are the key sessions. If you can travel back in time, there's one yesterday afternoon. But Friday morning, Azure Stack and hybrid deployment. That's probably going to be a key one for all you people that want to leverage your existing infrastructure, work out how to, your existing services and your service models, and work out how it's going to gel and the decisions that you need to make around that. Okay. So just a quick point in time snap at where we are. So we've established Azure Stack is a turnkey solution. We buy it, we plug it in, we turn it on. Awesome, just works. It does what it says on the box. It is Azure in my data center. Awesome. No access to the hypervisor, infrastructure person, that's actually important to me. Controlled environment, limited integration, that will obviously evolve and become amazing. But we've got the Azure Stack portal only. Okay. And then with Azure Pack, completely customizable solution. So we can wrap that over our environment. We've got our system center, we've got VMware, we've got other clouds that we can talk to. It can actually go around and manage all of that. Doesn't even need to do IaaS. We can extend and use other resource providers to do other things. Use Azure Pack to do something else, which I'll demonstrate as well. Mature integration and ISV custom portals. So for any of you that are working in environments where you've got your own portal, Azure Pack should be a serious consideration there. So let's come back and look at the Azure Pack as we saw it before. Let's just simplify it, separate it. So we've got Azure Pack on top, and because we know today that we're going to leverage, we can leverage Hyper-V on 2016, all of these features here are available today in Azure Pack. Okay. I don't think any of those will be available on Azure Stack release date. But some key things there that I need to make a shout out to are Azure Site Recovery. So because we have access to the visors, because we can still manage our infrastructure, we can turn on Azure Site Recovery. Does anyone use Azure Site Recovery today? For those that don't know, it is essentially a DR as a service through Azure. So that can either be to Azure or to another platform. We use that today. In our environment, we have clouds in our virtual machine manager environment that is automatically enabled. We deploy a virtual machine to that. It then gets synchronized to our secondary data center, and we have DR basically turned on out of the box. Okay, you can't do that with Azure Stack Day 1. I'm sure Azure Site Recovery will come one time, but nested virtualization, that seems to be one that people like to have. I guess for me, I don't see it as a super one. But something here, we've got 16 terabytes of memory. I wanted to do a demonstration, actually spin up a virtual machine with 16 terabytes of memory. I don't have kit that big. I think the biggest I could do is like 196 gig. But the point that is made there is we can do custom workloads. We can have custom sized virtual machines. One of the biggest complaints or biggest bugbears as an infrastructure person who are trying to deal with moving workloads to Azure is I get told what size virtual machines that I'm allowed to use or that I can use. So if I have a particular workload that is thread heavy but uses no memory and I want to throw 8 cores and just a gig of memory out there, I can't do it. Okay, I have to take the 8 core with the 72 gig of memory or whatever it might be. Okay, so when you put Azure Pack on your own environment, you can still today customize and provide your own sizes there. Hyper-V replica and VM shielding. So does anybody here work in an environment where they're in a financial institution or the encryption of data is an important thing? Okay, don't have to show hands. We won't come talk to you. But VM shielding. Can I get a show of hands? Who's aware of VM shielding and what it does and what it means? Okay, it's a good show of hands. For the people that aren't aware, essentially it's an encrypted virtual machine. It means that right now, as an administrator, before VM shielding, I could go to my SAN, pick out my VHDXs or my VMDKs, if you're that way inclined, grab that disk, attach it to a virtual machine, open it up, and I've got the keys to the kingdom. I've got all of that data. With VM shielding, we get a virtual TPM, we can encrypt that data. As the tenant, you control that encryption. So if I wanted to grab your VHD or VMDK and put that on my USB, take it home and start looking at your emails, I can't do that. Okay. It's actually quite an important one. So any hosters in the room, that is a huge one for you as well. Be aware of that one. So back to the basic diagram. But let's slice it up. Let's lift Azure Pack off. All right, so we know what Azure Pack is. We've got it on top of our environment. I've got my DC. As I said, I'm in Sydney. So my DC, I've got my Hyper-V, I've got my VMware, I've got all my bits and pieces, I've got my Cisco, my Juniper, my... Sorry to all the other vendors, but I've got everything in there. And I've mixed and matched and I've put it all in there. I've got that. With Azure Pack, depending on how you want to... If it's Hyper-V, you can use VMM to do many different things, you know, host groups or multiple VMMs or... Although that's another discussion. We can actually manage multiple data centers, multiple locations from one control panel. Okay. They've talked about in Azure Stack where you can have regions, you can attach regions together and do that kind of stuff. You can do that today. So you can have one control panel sitting on top of your environment provided to your IT or your consumers of your resources, and they can manage resources no matter where they are, which data center, your primary, your failover. If you've got customers using Trickery with SPF, the Service Provider Foundation, you can actually manage customers' environments as well and provide a portal to Azure Pack as a service almost and deliver those services for them. So let's take another look at Azure Pack. So what is it? It's a deployment option. We've got an express installation. As I said, if you wanted to deploy Azure Pack today, you can go download that and actually run that in less than a day. It's very quick. In an express installation, it means all the resources, everything is all on one box. You do the web platform installer, and it pretty much runs you through everything. And again, that's in the lab, so if you're interested in it, go give it a go today. Distributed deployment. So if you're doing it in a production environment, we segregate roles. That allows us to do better things with URLs and HTTPS ports. Also gives us the choice to manage our security layer, our authentication layer, segregate that out, give some thought around that. And then we can just scale it out to as big as we want to be, make it. Because essentially, for each Azure Pack role is a website or based on IIS, so we can load balance that or scale that up as we need. Okay, so if you've got a lot of tenant workloads, a lot of people hitting that tenant service, or you want to make it highly available, we can do that. And then we've got our resource providers below. I've included SQL in there. It's not part of the 7. You can make it on one of those virtual machines, but I'd imagine you'd have the SQL server in your environment already if you're going down this path. So Azure Pack, in the basic distributed deployment, we've got our internet facing. So in my environment, we actually provide this to our tenants. We have internet facing portals. They go to a URL. They put in their username and password. They authenticate there, and then they get access to deploy and manage their own cloud resources. That's in a public-facing environment, okay, in the DMZ. And then we have our privileged services. So, again, it's essentially basic architecture, really. What about authentication? So I want to put Azure Pack in my environment. I want to look, how's it going to fit? So out of the box, the tenant portals use ASP.NET. It's encrypted in the database. So our users go in that way. Happy days, I can log in with dapps at vigilant.it or dapps at outlook.com or whatever. I can register an account, gives me an email, I'll authenticate, I'll verify it, and then I'm off and racing. But what if I want to manage those identities, manage the people that have access to this stuff? We can actually change the portal and make it federated, leverage our ADFS. So we're then starting to use our UPNs internally. Okay. Because it is a choice for each portal, we flick the switch, it's either A or B. We can put two portals in our environment. So I can have portal A doing my ASP.NET, my various UPNs, point these tenants to here. And then for my users which are federated, I can point them to the other tenant portal. I call that a hybrid deployment. So we've got federation. We've got it in our environment. It's all working. We're all happy. We've got our tenants. Now, whether that be as an enterprise, my tenants could be the other business units, our other partner organizations. As a hoster, that might be our customers. All right? We federate. They've got ADF or federation. We make that connection. They can then get access to those resources. Whoa. So because we've got ADFS, or federation, we can leverage Azure AD and get tricky with Azure MFA. So you can turn on Azure MFA, so when somebody goes to their portal, they type in username and password, it goes and gives them a phone call or a text message, or they use an authenticator, those kind of things. So we get to leverage a lot of the Azure Smarts as well. So the authentication model is really consistent with the platform you deploy today. So out of the box, I really wish that they'd just change the portal slightly so it doesn't look like Azure Service Manager. But this is WAP Express out of the box. So We've got the six primary resource providers, so we can have websites, website clouds. There's some really good articles. You can get up and running with a website farm really quickly. We've got VM Cloud, so it can leverage your VMM environment. We've got Service Bus. If you've got a lot of application workflows that require a Service Bus, you can do that. We've got the SQL and MySQL servers, and we've got automation, the SMA component. And then the four. In the Express version, these are third-party resource providers are thrown in, so they must have had a word to Microsoft and got their foot in the door there. They are actually quite cool. We use the request management. I think this is going to be a very low number. Who here uses System Center Service Manager? You're on 2012 R2?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2016 is better. But it's less ooh. Can I say that? But request management, we can actually submit tickets directly through the Azure Pack portal. And you can add workflows and approval requests and kick off automation through that. So if you've got that in your environment today, that's a good one for you. But we find that not many people have Service Manager. Thank you for being brave. 5.9 Cloud Security. So if you're really security conscious, you can actually add an antivirus into the hypervisor, into the virtual switch layer. So every packet that goes through that virtual switch, this is more of a Hyper-V VMM function, but we can actually manage that through the portal. You can inspect every packet that goes through the vSwitch. And then we come to the distributed deployment. So if you deploy the full-blown, that's what it looks like. Something that's really I find really important for people is remote access for tenants. So with Azure Stack, just to give a bit of another beat up there, is if you deploy Azure Stack, who's deployed Azure Stack in TP1 or 2? Who's used Azure IaaS? Yeah, right, okay. So when you connect to a virtual machine, you want to open up the console of that virtual machine, you can't do that. So with Azure Stack, if you go to the virtual machine, you try and hit a button to go open up the console or give me access to that, the boot screen or whatever, you can't do that. RDP only. Or for Linux, you can enable SSH and do those kind of things. With Azure Pack, I'll do a quick demo there. All right. This is off queue. But if we have a look here, I've got a VM on Hyper-V. My Ignite demo plan. And if I just go connect console, downloads an RDP file for me. And I've actually got straight onto the console of Red Hat. That Red Hat, I don't even think that has a nick on that virtual machine there either. So I don't know about you, but I find that actually quite... No, it does have a nick, but yeah, I find that quite an important thing. Okay, shouldn't have demonstrated that. But we've connected to the console. Actually, here we go. Again, off the cuff. I've got, this is all ad lib now. Which flavor am I? So, Linux people. Either you guys are really shy or... So, here I have a virtual machine. Let's go have a look at my configuration. Does anybody know what gparted live is? I have no idea.
It's awesome.
A tenant asked for us. He said, I want to load this particular Linux Debian thingy. I went, okay. Off you go. So I uploaded the ISO into the library, made it available to their specific library because we can segregate those in the VM clouds. And then if I connect to the console, this is to prove that there is no nick, I'm actually, that's plus, I'm actually going through the install process of Linux right there. So for anybody that provides infrastructure as a service, to people on demand. I think that's quite a compelling little argument there. The engineering in me wants to just click through that and install the OS now. All right. Which flavor am I? Actually, no, we'll go to that later. So there is a caveat, RDP client for 8.1. Obviously, it doesn't work on Mac. Smiling. So let's have a quick look at the resource providers. What can we do with Azure Stack? So out of the box, the things that the resource providers are provided from Microsoft. We've got the website, so if we want to deploy web farms, scale those, we can use that out of the box. It's 7 VMs to do an initial deployment. Takes you, if you've got those VMs there already up and racing, you're going in 2 hours, you've got a web farm. VM and cloud, so virtual machines, virtual networks, VM roles. I want to make a point to that. I'll do a quick shout out to that later. There wasn't many Azure users in the room, but it'll make a call back there. The database is a service, the service bus, the automation through SMA, service management automation. Does anybody use System Center Orchestrator? Okay. All right. And I guess less using service management automation. Service management automation is PowerShell workflows, runbooks, essentially. The Azure Pack Connector, I've put a little star there. They call it the Azure Pack Connector, but Microsoft have provided, they call it a Project Phoenix. It used to be that you downloaded and you have to build the binaries yourself, and as a person that is allergic to Visual Studio, I found that quite challenging. But somebody actually wrapped them up and put them on GitHub for us. But you can actually download that, install that into your Azure Pack today, connect to an Azure subscription, and deploy and manage those virtual machines. It is quite limited. I'm going to show you a better tool for that, but you can do that free out of the box. And just recently, Microsoft released the DPM resource provider. Again, it's in the stage of raw code on GitHub, so we're in the process of putting it together. When I say we, I mean the developers in the office, and I just go, can we get it yet, please? Third party. So this is where Azure Pack really starts to extend itself. Well, third parties extend Azure Pack. So we've got our request management. Again, for us, that's important. Probably only for yourself, but VConnect. Now you probably can see I've already alluded to this at the beginning, but we can deploy, manage VMs in VMware, in Azure, in the other legacy public cloud, and in VMM. So 4 platforms. I think that covers everybody in the room today and everybody in the room where they probably want to go as well. And back up with Veeam, there's VConnect actually have 3. They call it the Cloud Assert Billing as well. So as a service with WAP, just a quick overview of where we are with WAP and the services that we can provide. Our IaaS, so we've got the 4 vendors there. I've left out the other public cloud, probably should have added that in. And then we've got the PaaS services today. So SQL as a service, does that mean anything to anybody? SQL as a service, if I say that, DB as a service, no. Have you ever deployed a database on Azure? Yeah, okay. What about in your environment today, who runs SQL servers? All right, okay. Who has users that request SQL databases at the nth hour and complains when they're not up straight away? Right. So if I just cut over. I'm going to go into the back end of my lab. And what I have pre-seeded is I've got a virtual machine with SQL. Nothing fancy, just SQL. And I've configured the SA. So. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a SQL Server group. So I'm going to add group. I've got the choice here. I can add highly available, so always on, or I can add a standalone. I'm going to add a standalone group name, so let's call this Ignite SQL. Now, we can enable resource governance. It's a feature of 2014, I believe. So we can create the group. So we now have a new SQL group. I go back to the tab, I go add servers. I pick a server. I pick my SQL group. I go to Ignite SQL. I go CDB. Sorry about the commentary. I don't have an internal monologue. All right. And check size, let's just call it 100 gig. So again, as a Fabric admin or as a tenant admin, I didn't deploy SQL. I don't need to worry about that. I don't care. As the infrastructure or the SQL team, I go, give me a SQL server, give me something that I can deploy to and tell me the capacity. All right, it's this, it's the name, give me the account, 100 gig, it's a standalone, great. It's all I need to know. So I've now added that into my service. If I go to a plan and I go 770 down, so you can see a lot of testing there going on. And if I go down to my plan services, SQL servers, and I add a group, Ignite SQL. Anyone who subscribes to this plan can have 5 databases, they can have 100 meg per database, and they can have an extra 100 if they get an add-on. And we can use, in an internal environment, when I say that, you can sort of do this in a multi-tenancy environment, tricky with DNS and things like that, but we can use Windows authentication. I'm going to leave that off. I've added that in. So I've added it to that plan. If I come back to my tenant and I just refresh. SQL Server databases. Add a new database. Right, DB. All right, I now have a SQL database deployed. So as a tenant admin, I brought in a SQL database. I went to the infrastructure people, or the SQL team, and I said, give me a resource. Give me something I can use. Grabbed the 3 or 4 things that I needed. As a tenant admin, I went to my Azure Pack portal. I put that in there with the parameters that I was given. I then add that to a plan. I give that plan to users, so that they subscribe the users or add it to an existing plan. And then as a user, immediately, I had a SQL Server database able to be deployed straight off the click. If we have a quick look at that information there. Oh, it's actually gone to a different SQL Server. Demo file. But I've got the string there. So the user can actually manage that, log in, get that SQL string, connect, and they're off and racing. So I actually added a SQL Server, provided that to a subscription, and to my users, and deployed that database quicker than the users usually ask you for that database originally. So I think that's pretty cool. All right. So automation. With Windows Azure Pack, we actually can connect to something called Service Management Automation, SMA. And as I alluded to before, we've got runbooks based on PowerShell. So has anybody used PowerShell runbooks or Azure Automation or anything like that? Okay, so be aware of the concept. It's fully integrated. It's a component of the System Center Orchestrator. So if you've got System Center licensing, so if you've got Config Manager, then you've got all the other bits and pieces. You've actually got the license to run this as well. It's highly scalable and it's very easy to deploy. We use service management automation in our environment to do many things. As infrastructure, I use it to build my blades. So anytime I have a new blade or I want to refresh my OS, I don't bother upgrading, reconfiguring, whatever. I subject it, change the status of it in VMM, run a runbook on it, and that will build that blade exactly the same every single time using that SMA automation. We also use the automation. I mentioned earlier how when we have VMs deployed to a cloud and we do Azure Site Recovery automatically in the back end, we use those runbooks to go and talk to VMM for a status and go, this VM should be in a cloud. Enable that, please. We also do that for backup. So there's a lot of things you can do there. We can use SMA to trigger on tenant actions. So when a new tenant is created, it can go and create something in a billing platform, or it can email somebody or do something like that, right down to the Fabric admin, which is where I like it. Key point there, down at the bottom, we can trigger Azure Automation. So Azure Automation, two ways we can kick it off, I believe, webhooks and forget the other one. We can do that straight from SMA there. WAP advanced concepts. So the virtual machine authoring tool, we can create and publish virtual machine roles. I'm going to stop there, skip over to something quickly. Is in Azure, we have something called VM scale sets. Does that ring a bell? Anybody, VM scale sets? So essentially the concept is we deploy a scale set, we have an image. This image looks like ABC, this OS, this configuration, this DSC module, these bits and pieces, this is how it looks. I get that image, I upload that to my VM scale set, and then upon request or using some sort of automation, I can scale that role up. Azure will go into the back end, make a new copy, do it, not sysprep, but basically get more instances of that virtual machine to the level that you wish, and then as you scale them down, it'll then knock out 1, 2, 3, 4, however many you want to scale down there. If I go to virtual machine, if you've actually seen the icon or the image in Azure for VM scale sets, it looks very similar to that, just the pluses on the top. We have here, it's my scale set. I've got a VNet, so I've got NIC, which plugs into that virtual network. It's got that particular OS image. There's nothing fancy in here, but I could apply some DSC, some automation to do what I need to do. I can see I've got three instances. But what I want to do is I want to scale. I don't want to put too much load on my hypervisor. I'm probably going to kill it. I've just changed from 3 to 6. I hit save. Now, assuming my subscription's got enough resources, that in the back end will go to the SPF, talk to VMM, deploy 3 new virtual machines using that template, add them to the scale set, and then if I'd had some DSC or some automation attached to that, it would then join that cluster, that farm, that resource, that application layer, whatever it might be. And it's failed. Failed to scale. Yeah. Demos. I went from two to three earlier, just to test it as well. All right. While I'm actually in this view, just to, again, focus on this particular part here, is we have the shielding data. So as a tenant, I'm in my tenant view here. I can download my Guardian, download my catalog, create the shielding file wizard to get my encrypted shielding data. I'm not a VM shielding person. And then upload that and secure my virtual machines as a tenant upon request. Okay. So then the admin underneath gets those VHDs, VHDXs. They can't look at them ever. Okay. Very important that you don't lose that shielding data, by the way, because don't expect your admin to fix you up there. All right. So we have another thing called the Gallery Resource Import Tool. So what we can actually create is with the VM roles, we use the VM authoring tool. We go in, it uses JSON templates. We can create a virtual machine with particular parameters, change a time zone, add disks, particular script on startup, and the list goes on. We import those resources. We would typically do that through, as an admin, I would go through the process of coming into my VM cloud. Oh, website says no. Discard. That's why it didn't come up. Go into my gallery. I'm on the wrong screen. So I've gone to my VM clouds, go to my gallery, and I can import. So I go get my resource definition file, I import that, then I go through this process of making it public, joining it to the plans. With the gallery resource import tool, there's two functions, or three functions to this. Is with those VM roles, if I have a particular OS disk that I want to apply to that virtual machine, it needs to have certain characteristics, and those, the way we identify those characteristics are the OS and tags. We use tags on the virtual disk. The gallery resource, the GRIT is what we call it, three components. The first component is it'll actually go to TechNet and download templates for you, so you can actually get a SQL, always-on VM roles, you can get Exchange, SharePoint, RDS, a long list of things you can deploy and play with. So it'll actually go get those for you. The second part is it'll actually look at that VM role and the resources that are provided that are required to go into that VM role, give you a list of your library, and you can select those particular VHDs or the resources and tag them accordingly. So you can actually see when you bring in that resource item, we can see what VHDs or VHDXs qualify to meet that role. So I don't make sure that if I've got a tag that just says NET35 as an example, because I was lazy in my VM role and I had a 2012 R2 and I just tagged it with NET35. If I then deploy a VHD which is 2016 and I add the NET35 as a tag, in that view it'll give me a list. It'll say, well, these VHDs qualify. I go, okay, well, I need to fix up my tags. So that stops tenants going and trying to deploy that role and getting the wrong OS. Obviously, it'll fail. But all of that is automated. It's actually really handy. So whilst I'm in... wrong screen. As an example, I've got three VM roles here. So I've just made some basic templates, which we've got three OSs, 2003, 2012, and 2016. All they'll do is deploy that scale set, is what we'll call it, the VM role. And I put parameters around those to do what I need to do. Pick the plan. So just to come back to a concept I mentioned where we've got multiple data centers. This, when we have our subscriptions, this is where you can get kind of tricky, and you call your subscriptions based on your location. So instead of it being a subscription, we've got like a location. So I would call that Sydney DC or Melbourne DC or whatnot. Now, based on the parameters of that VM role, I can pick the size of my virtual machine, the VHDs that qualify, the type of IP configuration, and so on and so on. There's the scale set configuration, so initial one, minimum one, five, and I can change that. So if I've got a particular application that I need 20 as a maximum, I need to have a minimum of four always on, then that will deploy it four times. Across, if you've got enough nodes, it'll deploy it across four nodes. So that again kind of alludes to an availability set in Azure as well. Right. So, Azure Pack in your environment. So, where we were before, we have our existing infrastructure. I've got my storage, I've got my network, I've got my compute. I can plug that all in. It's very happy. Okay. Now, whether that be through VMM or VMware, I had to make it smaller. Just a... goes on future prospects. So if I quickly just do a skim here, the VM, I think my deployments failed because I didn't configure them properly this morning. I was in a mad rush. But I've got actually a AWS subscription, Azure subscription, got some ESX hosts, and I've got a Hyper-V environment. Through one portal, I've got VMs on four different platforms. Okay. And I've got nano server on there too. Pardon? Absolutely. Absolutely. We, I don't want to diverge too much, but we've actually got a customer-facing portal. When they create a service or purchase a service, it'll actually go and create a plan for them. Okay, but it's however you want to slice and dice your resources. Okay, it's entirely up to you. Sorry? That becomes a service on your plan. So in the back end, we can have multiple tenants go to the same subscription, or we can have multiple subscriptions. Yeah, we configure multiple subscriptions to that Azure subscription. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yep. Right. So I should have had two arrows going off to legacy public and Azure as well. So we've gone down the road. We've picked up Azure Stack, got a big shiny box, put our sticker on the side, stuck in our environment, plugged it in, roll up and going. Because we have that, hopefully that WAP control is going to be awesome. Because Microsoft have already announced that they're actually going to have control. You're going to actually leverage your existing infrastructure through Windows Azure Pack from Azure Stack. That's how I see it fitting into the environment. So just a quick summary. There's not enough room on the screen to really have everything here. But as an infrastructure person, these are the things that really spoke to me that are really important. So again, the key ones, the turnkey solution, the no access to a lot of stuff, the it is what it is, and Azure Pack being able to twist, tort, customize, do whatever you want to do, and have whatever infrastructure you have to provide an Azure-like experience to your tenants, users, departments, clients. I like to think of it as, there's two analogies I like to do here. It's like go buy a car. If we go to Azure Stack, it means I go down to, let's pick Ford. I don't know, I'm wearing a blue shirt. Ford. I go down to Ford and I go, all right, I want to buy a car, please. They go, okay, cool. You have your choice of, I don't even know what cars they have. They have a Sierra, a Falcon, and a Fairlane. I don't know. We've got three choices there. I don't get to pick my seat covers, my color. I don't get to pick dash or anything, wheels or anything like that. I basically have three choices. I pick that and I take that. With Azure Pack, I go down to the car dealer. I can make it any color I like. I can paint the panels any color, different colors. I can have different seat covers, different wheels, change the wheels every week if I want to, change the engine, beef it up, put an exhaust on, some fluffy dice, sunroof, all that kind of cool stuff. Am I getting the message across here? The other analogy is McDonald's. I can go buy a Big Mac, or I can build my own burger. But so the WAP and MAS roundup. Azure Stack loves Azure Pack. So it'd be interesting. Is it going to be a real success or fail here? Do people agree? Can I get a show of hands who agrees? You're just nice people, I reckon. Who disagrees? Be honest. He works with me. There's only so much we can fit into 50, 60 minutes. If you want to extend this discussion and debate it and throw new challenges or new topics in it, I'm more than happy to discuss this. As I said, it's a topic I'm very passionate about. I love Azure Pack. I've been working with it for a long time. Been through the evolution of Azure Pack. Very fond of System Center. Just to get some clarity on you VMware people in the room, when I was employed at Vision IT, I was the VMware guy. It was a long road to Hyper-V. So don't get me wrong. So Azure Pack today. I'm going to WAP deployed in one day. Less than. You can go do it in the lab yourself today in an hour or two if you can follow instructions. So you can get Azure Pack in your environment to leverage some of these or all of these resources if you've got the infrastructure or the bits and pieces underneath that you don't know how to bring it all together into one platform or one centralized service-based platform. Azure Pack can do that for you. Okay, take you towards where that Azure Stack journey is, where it's as a service. Okay. Hyper-V, VMware, Azure, legacy public, I have to say it. Azure Pack, your DC today. Is that cheesy? Was that cheesy? I was going for cheesy. All right. I got told that I had too much content, but I think I've run like really fast. Continue your Ignite learning, and then the big one. There's actually a bonus on this session. If you give me a high score, you actually get a higher chance to win the... Trust me. Trust me. Thank you very much. Chat with me and speak later.